Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us this morning. You invite us, you invoke upon us, you demand that we do not worry about anything, but in everything and in prayer and supplication to make our requests be made known to you. Trusting in your steadfast faithfulness, Almighty God, help us to turn now to you all of our worries so that we may receive instead your spirit of gentleness and faithfulness upon us, that we may receive your word and trust in its abiding love. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Almighty God. Amen. Earlier this month, I attended a retreat for preachers at Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. I was not prepared for the desert. I was not prepared for the beautiful, beautiful ancient mesas of rainbow colors of rock and the fascinating prayer life, plant life, or the dry heat, or the cool starry nights and the mystery of the Milky Way. Honestly, I hadn't really had time to look at the itinerary or really studied what I would be doing over the week. I just knew I was going with a dear friend, and I brought my laptop and my books, thinking I would find a little space to sit and study and prepare for preaching for the fall and into the winter and spring. What I received instead was the gift of being on the receiving end of beautiful worship services, provocative preaching, and rich lectures on scripture and the state of the world and the importance that the church plays in that conversation. It was a week filled with unexpected gifts, and one of the greatest was a reminder of the gift of faithfulness. One of the sessions was led by New Testament professor, scholar Caroline Lewis, and the topic was on clergy women and the sexism and the growing voices that are delegitimizing the voices of women preachers in America today. For more information, Google the Southern Baptist Convention 2026. After naming the problem and the research study that clergy women are experiencing, Caroline shifted over to some solutions and ways to address the reality of sexism in our profession. The first solution, she said, or response, she said, is that you have to be strong in your theological beliefs. You have to know your core theology, and you cannot waver from it. And this got me thinking, do I know my core theology? Yeah, could I write it on a t-shirt? Could I say it to someone in an elevator? If I was pushed or challenged, would I waver from it? Or would I hold fast to it? To put it plainly, what does it mean to be faithful? Faithfulness is not so much about what we choose to believe as it is about whom we choose to trust. Faithfulness and trust go hand in hand. In the Old Testament, the word most often translated as faithfulness is emuna, which means to be certain of something or someone. In Greek, the word for faithfulness is pistis, and is defined as having a deeply settled trust, especially in God, Christ, or scriptural life into which you were called. Faith is not something you acquire or achieve. You cannot pick up faith at Walmart. It is not for sale. It is not something that can be proved or disproved. There's no scientific formula for faith. Thomas Aquinas put it, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without, no explanation is possible. The gift or the fruit of the Spirit, like all of the other fruits, come from God and are of God. In Scripture, God's faithfulness towards us is lavish and undaunted, and it challenges us to respond in kind. It may sometimes feel weak, but in us, it is in a reality, it is the sturdiest of things because it does not rest on either our understanding or our habits. We can reject a set of beliefs. We can run from it. We can think we are unworthy of it. We can be skeptical of it. We can decide that God is unworthy of our trust, and all of those choices impact our lives and the way we see the world. But none of that stops God from being faithful to us. God's faithfulness is unwavering. The Bible tells us story after story trying to convince us of this truth, from Abraham to Sarah to Moses and the Israelites to David to Ruth and Naomi to Daniel in the lion's den, Mary's encounter with the angel, Jesus in the tomb and the birth of the church. Forever and always, God is faithful. How we respond to God's faithfulness is the question. And Deuteronomy provides a roadmap for us on how to respond to God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 is the Shema. The Shema is the transliteration of the Hebrew word meaning hear. Our first task is to hear it. Our first posture is one of recipient, to listen, to hear God's voice. What does faithfulness look like? It looks like hearing, listening for God. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O church. Hear, O community. Hear, O country. And now that you are listening, this is what you must do. You must love the Lord your God. Now this is, love is an action. Who are you to love? You are to love the Lord your God, not other gods, not another God, but one God. Deuteronomy was really focused on making sure that folks were not polytheistic. So there's a lot of influence on making sure we understand there's one God and God alone. And just in case you think we haven't gotten over that argument yet, I think we can look around and say that we worship a lot of other gods. Besides one God, God alone. There is no other God to love but Yahweh. Now, how are you to love him? With all of your heart. Your heart is where your feelings come from. It's your wisdom. It's your place of understanding what drives you and where your wisdom sits. That's your heart. How are you to love him? With all of your being, your soul, your essential self. How are you to love him? With all of your might, with your strength and your will. And how do we love him in these three ways? Well, Deuteronomy tells us, we practice, you rehearse. You love him when you sit down in your house and when you go away. You love him when you lie down at night and when you rise up. Faithfulness comes to light when we hear and pay attention, and then when we love God and God alone with every part of who we are. I was once teaching the Shema to my confirmation class, and I had a student named Molly who was about as tall as that baptismal font. And Molly was not going to buy all this religious stuff. And she certainly wasn't going to believe me or believe the Bible just because the Bible told her so. She came in ready. She came in hot. I was teaching the Shema, and combining it with the question from the Westminster Confession, which says, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To which Molly said, God is so selfish. What does God ever do to deserve for me to love him? Why is that even a thing? I mean, who does he think he is that we're supposed to glorify him forever? I mean, love him with all of our heart and soul and strength? Tell me why. Why should I glorify him? Moses did not have Molly in his confirmation class. And I wondered how he would have answered her. But with her testing eyes and the rest of these eighth graders looking at me, wondering what I was going to say about that, I said, because God loves you. God loves you. God loves you with all of his heart, and all of his soul, and all of his might. Because when you go to bed at night, God is there. And when you wake up in the morning, God is there. And when you leave the house, God is there. And when you come home, God is there. God is there and God is faithful forever and eternal. I asked Molly, I said, do you have a dog? Yes, she said. I said, think about how your dog loves you. Think about how excited he is when you walk through the door and how he keeps watch at night. I think to understand how God's faithfulness and how God is so faithful, I said, I think he gives us dogs. You probably have heard the saying, God spelled backward is dog, because he wanted us to have a daily reminder of who he is. Dog is the only creature on earth that loves you more than he loves himself. And that kind of love can only be a reflection of God's own heart. Loving God isn't some highfalutin, pious act of reverence. It's not for show. It's the way you show love to your dog. It's the way you show love to people, strangers, neighbors. It's gentle. It's kind. It's easy. If you ask yourself the question, am I being faithful? You are not asking the question, am I being perfect? If you are asking yourself if you are being faithful, you are not asking yourself, am I as good as my neighbor? If you are asking yourself if I am being faithful, you are not asking the question, am I being influential? If you are asking yourself the question, if I am being faithful, you are not asking the question, am I being successful? God does not command any of those things. And here's the big secret: God doesn't care if you are. God is not interested in those things. God is interested in if you are being faithful. God wants you to be faithful. Preacher Fred Craddock says, we think giving all to the Lord is like giving a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table and saying, here is my life, Lord, I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that God sends us to the bank and has us cash $1,000 for quarters. And we go through life handing out 25 cents here, 50 cents there, listening to the neighbor's kids' troubles instead of saying, get lost. Going to a committee meeting, let me say that again. Giving a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all of these little acts of love. 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory, but it's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. Ask the Lord to show you how you can spend your life well. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, Whoever is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. What does it mean to be faithful? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.